Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
What's up, First Thing First listeners? It's your boy, Shea Sharp, co-host of FS1's Undisputed. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shea Shea, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shea Shea, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shea Shea is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shea Shea now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now, back to First Things First.
First things first, are the Brooklyn Nets now the definitive title favorite after adding Blake Griffin? Could Russell Wilson win a Super Bowl in the Windy City? And a Jimmy G, Bill Belichick reunion is rumored to be on the horizon, Kevin Wilde. Brace yourself, strap in. It's going to be a fun show. Good Monday morning, everyone. Jenna Wolf alongside Nick Wright, Brandon Marshall, and the aforementioned Kevin Wilde. Wilde, are we running it back with Jimmy G? Is that what's happening here?
Yo, let's go. We're headed to wherever the Super Bowl is next year. I'm excited for it. Where are we going?
What?
I researched it.
You sure that's what you want?
Forget playoff contention. We're Super Bowl bound already. All right, we'll get to all that. We got to start with last night's All-Star game, full of all the stars appropriately named. Team LeBron versus Team Durant. Nick, your guy put together quite a team. You may be our resident GM. LeBron James is basically already a GM. Picked Giannis. He went 16 for 16, game high 35. He grabbed Steph, who nailed 8 threes. He took Dame with the game-sealing 3 last night. So, Nick, you got a lot to choose from. Give us your biggest takeaway from last night's NBA All-Star game.
Well, it's not the MVP, Giannis. You guys know the longstanding belief on this show, banked in threes should not count. So Giannis was actually 14 Correct. Of 16. It was not Dame Lillard validating Kevin Wilde's months-long take that became my days-long take when I stole it from him, that Dame is the best clutch three-point shooter in basketball. The biggest takeaway and the biggest story was there are going to be two eras when we look back over the expanse of history of NBA history. Pre-Steph Curry and post-Steph Curry. Because he has changed this game for good or for bad forever. And while there are a lot of guys in the league right now that try to shoot like Steph and can't, in the future, there are a lot of kids that are playing right now who will be in the NBA 10, 12, 14 years from now who are going to make shots like this just part of good offense. We have never seen anyone quite like him in NBA history, Brandon, and that was on full display from the three-point contest to the game last night. And that shot right there is not a bad shot, and that is a remarkable turn of events from where the league was, hell, just 10 years ago, not 50 years ago. So that was my biggest takeaway, is Steph Curry further expanding what is a good shot in the NBA.
Yeah, that was one of my three takeaways, Nick. I mean, tremendous. And also just listening to Reggie Miller on the broadcast talk about Steph Curry as the greatest shooter the game has ever seen. And that's coming from Reggie Miller. There's a lot of retired players it's hard for them to talk about other players in that type of way, especially when you're considered one of the greatest at what you're talking about. And it just made me think, like, did we not in the past practice or work at shooting the ball like Steph Curry? Is how much of it is natural and how much of it is just him working at that? Because I'm trying to figure out, can we see, will we see another guy with that type of ability? So that was just a sensational outing by Steph Curry. He was phenomenal. If it wasn't for your boy going 16 for 16, he would have definitely won the MVP, obviously. Some other takeaways. Chris Paul, I think it needs to be noted how great of a job he's done over the last couple of years revitalizing All-Star Weekend. Like, this dude is the catalyst behind what we saw, the new challenges and just the engagement around this game. It was fun to watch. I think Chris Paul needs to be definitely highlighted here. And then also the money raised for HBCUs. You know, let's not forget about that. I think CNN reported it's, you know, came in somewhere around $3 million. You know, the court was highlighted with the HBCU schools, wanted to highlight the significance of their academics and the school pride. And it goes on and on and on. So, you know, those were my three takeaways. I thought it was an amazing outing. I know LeBron and a couple other guys, Wiles, didn't want to participate, but I thought they did a tremendous job of putting on for all of us fans.
I agree. I'm going to take this to its logical conclusion of Nick's nice historical soliloquy. I think we should have a four-point play. Let's put a four-point play in the All-Star game from now on. We're already picking teams. We're already playing by quarters. We got the Elam ending. Dame is hitting bombs from half court. Steph's hitting bombs from half court. So let's just put a four-point play into a four-point shot into the game. Because after the game, Nick, one of the biggest people in the entire sports ecosystem changed his tune. Take a listen.
Well, I guess I was criticized for the right reason, for calling Dame's shot in the playoffs a bad shot. I mean, I see these guys' range is crazy.
Did you say that's no longer a bad shot?
It's a great shot. Two thumbs up.
Boom! Total reversal! Total narrative change! So, Nick, I know some people are like, well, Wilds, once you put the four-point shot in the All-Star game, next thing you know, you're going to want it in the regular game. Yeah, probably. Why not? We know that the league is headed, Nick, and look way down the road. Look way down the road. We know the league is headed to a few things. One, it's just whoever wins the game makes the most threes. So then we've talked about limiting the amount of threes you can take in a half, in a quarter, or the whole game, or introduce the four-point shot. I know it sounds ridiculous, but at one point the three-point shot was ridiculous. I think we should at least think about it, have the conversation of having the four-point shot in the All-Star game.
Well, I'm old enough to remember Rock and Jock. Rock and Jock had a 10-point shot, a 50-point shot, and I think a 100-point shot. So they would just be following in Dan Cortez's great footsteps there. One thing on Steph, and then there's one other thing that has to be noted about the game. Steph is without question the greatest shooter ever. I think Dame is more effortless, though, in super long threes. And it's amazing how guys have evolved, because if you look at three-point percentage by season in NBA history, there's two seasons in the mid-90s that jump off the charts, and then it goes back to normal. And that's because the NBA moved the line in 9 inches. And the guys were like, oh, my God, it's so much closer. Now it feels like they could move the line out 9 feet, and there are a handful of guys who are like, that's no problem. So And Dame just, it's his free throw form, it almost looks like, and he's shooting from half court. Yep. But I would be remiss, Brandon, if I didn't show America this. I do not think LeBron versus Jordan is an interesting debate, because LeBron ended it 4 years ago, 5 years ago at this point. But others do.
5 years ago?
So for folks, it was mid-June of 2016 when they came back from On Steph's Warriors. That's when he ended it. But some folks do think the debate is ongoing. For those folks, tough night last night. Show them the raw numbers. Talking about greatest basketball person ever. Winning percentage as a GM. LeBron, a perfect 4-0. Michael Jordan, the only thing worse than the winning percentage is that jacket he's wearing. So listen, I'm just saying, add it to the ledger when you're looking at, the GOAT conversation. You have the greatest GM ever against a guy who wins about 4 out of 10 games. That's all I'm saying.
He's winning in his department. He's definitely winning in his department. And you picked that
picture.
So it's
LeBron leading the executive of the year race after last night.
Yeah.
And not MJ.
That's right.
Back talking the New England Patriots. So are the Patriots eyeing a reunion with Jimmy Garoppolo as their quarterback? It was a pipe dream. Now it seems like it may be more than that. We'll discuss next. First things first.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to The Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hey, first things first, listeners. I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagine for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, as well as the televised version of this show, just a click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. So download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com.
All right, Wilds, we're going to take a turn. We're going to talk about your Patriots. They have clearly been listening to you bang the drum about Jimmy Garoppolo. So get this. The New England Patriots reportedly see Jimmy G as, quote, far and away the plan A for next season. It's not crazy. They did draft the guy back in 2014. Belichick reportedly never wanted to lose him when Brady wanted him to go. So let's play this out. Brandon, would the Patriots be playoff contenders next season with Jimmy Garoppolo playoff under center?
Oh, come on. This is such a tough question. I don't know. I mean, let's look at it. In 2016, you had Tom Brady. Yesterday, it's a tough question. In 2016, your boy Tom Brady was suspended for 4 games. So then you insert Jimmy G, and what happened? 4 TDs, 0 interceptions, 119 quarterback rating. He had 2 starts. In the second game, he had 234 yards and 3 touchdowns and got hurt in the second quarter with a shoulder injury and then traded to the San Francisco 49ers, where he started the last 5 games and went 5-0. 2018, ACL tear. 2019, Super Bowl. 2020, high ankle sprain. So I say it's a tough question, because what Jimmy G are we getting? Do we even know how good Jimmy G is? Do we even know how bad Jimmy G is? I don't know, because of his career. You know, there's a lot of talk about, like, guys and being injury prone, but sometimes it's just inevitable. Some things you can't control, especially in football. Guy take your knee out, a guy take your ankle out. Some things you just can't control. So how much of it is him and how much of it is just the inevitable? So I really can't answer this question, because I don't know what Jimmy G we're going to get. Are we going to get the Jimmy G in 2017 when he started the last 5 games and went 5-0? He did throw 7 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. The Super Bowl Jimmy G. I mean, can he be that manager with a great defense, but he's throwing, what, 8-9 passes a game? The second half of that run? So I really don't know. And I think with, you know, Bill Belichick, he knows this guy, obviously, and maybe he can get more out of him. But I'm sorry, I need to see it.
So I think they would be playoff contenders, because there is no great team in that division. But before I give my full thoughts on this, I think Kevin Wilds should talk. Because Wilds, how the mighty have fallen. I saw your face there, and I was like, you know what, this would be like if in 7 years, when LeBron's in year 25, we have a question like, can LeBron be like a sixth man on a winning team? And I'm like, oh my God, that's what we're talking about? But for you, it happened so fast. You went from being the envy of the league to, if you pull off this quarterback trade, can you once again be better than
maybe
the Bills? So how does it feel? Like, what's going... I know you were excited about the Jimmy G conversation, but then brought down by the question. So I just want to give the floor to you, our resident Patriot apologist.
Well, thank you. Well, first of all, I wholeheartedly reject the premise. I reject the question. And Brandon, when I say it's not, you were like, it's a hard question. Like, that you, I didn't mean to butt in. It's because the question by our producers was absolutely terrible. Of course, we're playoff contenders. We're playoff contenders if you want to suit up, Brandon, and get behind center. Look. We know that we've got the fourth most cap space. We know we got the 15th pick. We know we got all our opt-outs coming back. We know we got the smartest football mind, you know, in the history of mankind on the sidelines. Now, do I want Jimmy G? Yes, I would prefer Jimmy G. If the one of the reasons that Cam struggled was not because of his arm or, you know, accuracy issues, it was just knowing the playbook, then it makes me think, all right, why don't we bring a guy in who knows the playbook and a guy who, I don't know, likes to win games. And maybe I'm a Neanderthal. Maybe I'm a simpleton. Maybe I'm just a Patriots homer. But a guy who is, let me check my notes here, 26-9 as a starter in his career. And Kyle Shanahan, when he doesn't have Jimmy G in starting, is 6-24. Well, you know what? I'll take the winning quarterback. That's good. And Brandon, I'll throw it to you, Nick. The idea that this guy gets ripped for following Kyle Shanahan's game plan. It's like, throw the ball five times. Like, all right, what do you want him to do? Pout? You want him to change the plays? You like, he got to the Super Bowl by running the game plan.
He's making him do that.
Exactly. Well, he went to the Super Bowl, so what
Brandon
do you want him to do?
Right.
Refuse
no, no, no.
to
you criticize
Big Ben for changing the play. What do you want him to do?
I think the answer is what people want him to do is be better at playing quarterback so the coach doesn't think the best way for us to win is throw the ball eight times. I think that's the answer. But I hate to do this to my buddy Kevin Wilds, but you keep saying something or two things, and I'm going to put you on the spot here. Because you keep saying the Patriots are in really good shape because they have the fourth most cap space and they have the 15th pick of the draft. You're a diehard Patriot fan. I'm just curious. What's the last great free agent that was like, you know what? New England's where I want to be. Because you got all this cap space, but cap space isn't going to suit up. And speaking of the 15th pick of the draft, what's the last Patriots draft pick that you're like, man, Belichick nailed it. Wait, man, we got a steal. We love that player that we got there. What? Go ahead. Tell me.
Yeah, Kyle Duggar last year. It was great. Division two. Finding diamonds in the rough. He's out there spelunking.
Okay, so that,
yeah.
The answer's
okay,
Tom.
All right, there it is. And the free agent is to be named later. The free agent's Wes Welker,
Randy
13
Moss,
years ago.
It's been a while.
Moss was a trade.
Maybe Kyle Van Noy counts as a free agent. He can come back.
I'm not sure if he comes back.
There.
Go ahead, Brandon.
He had an easy out. You could have went Stephon Gilmore. You could have went the defensive player
there
of the
it
year.
Is. There
but
it
at the
is.
End of the day, Nick.
Okay,
Nick,
yeah. From
but
the
but at the end
Bills.
Of the day, Nick, you're right. Bill, because one of the things that we talked about all year, we're like, well, Tom Brady's not there. And then we start looking at Bill Belichick, the head coach, compared to Bill Belichick, the GM. Bill Belichick, the GM, the last 4 or 5 years haven't been great. Look at when's the last first rounder that really hit? And then also free agency. Like, this team is depleted. They're not deep. So you take away Tom Brady, and then all those things that he used to cover up is now highlighted. And there's a huge spotlight on it. So for me, you know, Wilds, you keep manipulating numbers. I don't know who's worse at manipulate or better at manipulating numbers, you or Nick Wright. You know, you're talking about 2009. You know, 2009, like, they went to the Super Bowl and Jimmy G just wins games. Well, they didn't win games because of Jimmy G. They won games because of that defense. Come on now. Don't let us go back in the history books.
So here's the thing. I feel like we're all piling on Wilds, which is understandable because when it comes to the Patriots, he's quite irritating. But I want to make him feel better. Here's the thing. Here's Wilds how you guys can get Jimmy G. The question is, will Belichick overpay for him? He needs to call up two old buddies, Nick Caserio and John Lynch. Because I do not think the Niners are trading Jimmy Garoppolo away unless they have a quarterback coming back. The Patriots obviously don't have a quarterback to give. So the way this would work is essentially the Patriots would be trading two first-round picks for Jimmy G. Those picks would go to the Texans. The Niners would be trading two first-round picks and Nicky Bosa. That would also go to the Texans. You get Jimmy G. The Niners get Deshaun Watson. Do you think there is a world where Bill Belichick, for a player that he received one second-round pick for, trades away two first-round picks? Because I heard Greg Bedard say this is their plan A, but plan A's usually should have a likelihood of success. And I don't see a scenario where the Niners, even if they are not in love with Jimmy Garoppolo, move off of him without another quarterback waiting in the wings. So that's the trade I created. Nick Caserio, former Patriots in Houston. He's done business with John Lynch before, so you can get everyone on the phone. But do you think Belichick would overpay for Jimmy Garoppolo? That would be my question back to you, sir.
Belichick is not. The only thing he overpays for is hooded sweatshirts. He is not overpaying. he values those first round picks and he turns them into more picks. So I think it's just, I don't see him doing that, Nick.
Then
I
how like you
the trade,
there,
don't get me wrong. But I don't see it happening, Brandon.
If it's Jimmy G or moving up in the draft, he better overpay because his legacy's on the line. Or, I mean, it is solidified. But at the end of the day, do you want to go out this way where Tom Brady's on the top and then all of a sudden you're here and everybody's talking about Tom Brady's the reason why you guys won six Super Bowls? He better overpay for a quarterback.
Don't forget, Brady's coming into Gillette next year. So if we've got Marcus Mariota versus Tom Brady and we lose the game 40-7, it's going to be bad.
Not great. All right, while we wait for your Patriots to figure it all out, Nick's going to award some NBA medals. Team LeBron just balled last night, won the All-Star game. LeBron himself only played 13 minutes, spent the rest of the time sitting back, folding his arms and admiring the team that he put together. Nick, who got a medal?
That's right, Jenna. When you're, you know, Executive of the Year, LeBron James, back-to-back Executive of the Year, because remember, he made the Lakers team last year. He traded all the kids for Anthony Davis. That's what I was told. You can just sit back and admire your handiwork. So he doesn't get a medal. Bronze medalist, Giannis. You might say, wait, Giannis went 16-16, won All-Star MVP, bronze medal. I didn't like the over-celebration. He made 1-3 legitimately, and he acted like he had won an Olympic gold. And then those banked-in threes actually count against you, but you get a gold medal or a silver medal because you were 16 of 16. Silver medalist, Dame time. Turns out, even if there literally is no time, it is still Dame time. No time on the clock, no problem. I'll sit at the walk-off game winner, point at my watch, even though clocks weren't actually in effect at the time. And then the gold medalist, I thought the best weekend anybody had, Steph Curry. First time Steph's won anything on a basketball court since 2017, and he did it in resounding fashion.
All right, was that
winning
nice?
An All-Star game, winning a three-point contest. Oh, but it's true. Steph Curry, gold medalist. Happy for him, Brandon. There you go. Giannis, Dame, Steph. No Nets up there, buddy.
Hey, was it you or Chris Brashard talking about Giannis will get the MVP because he's going to go full speed ahead? He plays like it's going to be a regular season. He's going to play it like it's going to be a regular season game. Was it you or Chris?
That was Broussard. I picked Steph to win MVP. Broussard picked Giannis. It was Broussard. He was
right. Well,
it.
You guys were right there, and I picked Embiid, and Embiid didn't even play. Wow. Look, I thought you would give LeBron even more credit because he's, in my mind, the first general manager, active player. He put together this team, and he's 4-0. Since the draft and since 2018, I think you got to give him a little bit more love.
Manager.
I agree with you. I shouldn't give LeBron more love, Jenna.
Well,
it's a bad job.
We will have Broussard on in a little bit, so Nick can gloat.
I wanted to call the general manager. Look at Joker in the background here. Joker only had 6 points, but he gets a nice shot for his Instagram holding the trophy up. Well done, Joker. Also, didn't win anything, but had a great time. Good job, Joker. In the back.
Back talking Tampa Tom now. Is Tom Brady really going to play past age 45? We'll have that for you next. First things first.
Hey, First Things First listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People's Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. Now, back to First Things First.
Back here, First Things First. Let's play a little drawing a blank. Start in Indy. How about Carson Wentz? Team guy. Reportedly going to join his new teammates this week for off-season workouts for the first time. Hey, Brandon, Carson Wentz's year one with the Colts will be blank.
Contender-ish. Listen, yeah, that's a real word. That's a B. Marshall word. If you tune in, I may mess up some words here and there, and sometimes I make up words, and I made this one up. Look, this dude has no more excuses. He has everything he needs. In Philly, what didn't he have? He didn't have an offensive line. He didn't have the wide receivers because they were banged up and, you know, really they really didn't have much talent there. And then they also have a defense. So he is a guy that can lead this team. This is an organization that believes that Frank Reich can get to guys. They think he can get to Carson Wentz. So with the guys in that locker room, with Frank Reich and that coaching staff, this team should be a contender. That is the goal for them.
I think the Colts will be good. I think Carson Wentz will be meh. I'm going to be totally honest to America here. I'm not that interested in Carson Wentz. I've never understood why he's so talked about. I've never understood why it's like he is on the level right beneath Dak Prescott amongst quarterbacks we talk about that much. Like, listen, he was really, really good 4 years ago. And since then, he's been meh. And his team's been meh. And I feel like next year with the Colts, he's going to be meh. So that's how
that's
I feel.
Meh. Wow. That's such a great word, too.
Is that a word, or did you make that up?
That's a totally fair take. I mean, that's a word. I'm going with Rivers-esque, also known as like a stream or a babbling brook. I think the Colts would be totally fine if he had a Rivers-esque season. Philip Erzgruber, 4,000 yards, 24 TDs, 11 touchdowns. Carson Wentz played four fewer games, but threw four more interceptions. But I think if he just has a Philip Rivers-esque season, Colts will be happy.
I'm just making up words left and right. I like it. All right, head to Cleveland now. Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski said the team is in a good spot with Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry as far as cap hits go for next season. Caps don't catch balls. Brandon, the Browns keeping Odell and Landry should have Baker feeling blank.
Real word alert. You can find it in Webster's. This is hesitant.
Okay.
I mean, look, man, you guys tried it. You went out there.
Alert.
You tried to get him the best wide receiver in football at the time. And the chemistry is just not there. So I think it's best for both sides to move on. Go get what you can out of Odell. You know, take that piece, add it to the defensive side. Maybe draft some speed at the wide receiver position. But he should be hesitant. It just doesn't work. And it's okay. It has nothing to do with your game. It has nothing to do with Odell's game. It's just you guys don't see it the same way. And so I would move on if I'm the Cleveland Browns. And I would move on definitely if I'm Odell Beckham Jr. Because you got to get your career back on track. You were once known as the greatest wide receiver of this time. And now in the last couple years, you've been banged up by injuries. We know how special you are. Go get you a quarterback that understands your body language and how you play football. And that wants to get you the ball, and you'll be right back on track. Hesitant.
Yeah, I'm with Brandon on a lot of this. My answer was should have Baker feeling nothing because it's not going to happen. And I also agree it's nobody's fault. But right now, Odell is a luxury that I believe the Browns can't afford. Because low-key underrated story with the Browns last year, that back half of the defense was terrible. Truly terrible. The numbers didn't indicate it as bad as they were because they played that month of football in the windstorms and the monsoons, so their defensive numbers looked better. But the defense was awful. So you need to trade Odell either for a defensive playmaker or a draft pick with which you can use on a defensive playmaker. So if I were Baker, I wouldn't be getting too excited about having both of these guys back, because I think Odell is getting moved. I think this is just Andrew Berry and the Browns franchise trying to keep his value high, Wilds.
Okay, I thought Baker was in a unique situation. And before we go, I want to ask Brandon a question. I feel like a lot of these quarterbacks want a lot of weapons, right? We've seen Lamar ask for more weapons. Tom Brady obviously wants weapons. Aaron Rodgers wants weapons. Baker's a guy who has a lot of weapons. If you move on from Odell, with this injury kind of looming, you know, I think on people's minds, do you think he has to play a few games here almost as a tryout for other teams to move his value to where we think it should be?
It's possible, but I don't think it's necessary. It's not necessary because of medicine now. If this was 10 years ago, the way we are 15 years ago, we used to take knives and cut the people's knee open it up and try to put it back together. Now, it's so much easier.
Take knives and cut people's...
Modern medicine. Guys are recovering faster. Okay. Look at Adrian Peterson coming off the ACL and then running for 2,000 yards. No, it's not necessary.
What are those thousands of years?
Still right, he's like, let me tell you exactly how to cut into an ACL. On to Tampa now. Brady and the Bucs reportedly discussing a contract extension. That'll happen when you come in, you hint you can win a Super Bowl, and then you actually go ahead and win a Super Bowl. A new deal would push him past age 45. I personally can't wait till I'm 45 one day. Brandon, Tom Brady playing beyond 45 would be blank.
Oh, man, this is the GOAT. The greatest accomplishment in sports history, maybe? I mean, look, the dude is 43 now. He turns 44 in August, so that means, you know, he'll have to play three more years to play past 45, obviously. I mean, is it possible? I think he's showing us that anything is possible in sports. I mean, it really feels inconceivable when you look at the injury rate in the National Football League. What this dude is doing is unbelievable. And, his counterpart, LeBron James, what they're doing, you know, is unheard of. So if this happens, to me, it'd be the greatest feat in sports history.
All right. Wild's going to get mad at me. Brandon's going to maybe won't speak to me anymore. Jenna's going to text her wife and say, I can't believe I worked with this guy. I'm going to touch a third rail here because we all agree in sports media, there are certain things off limits. You don't talk about anybody's family. But, Tom, this would be selfish. Your wife and children have spoken. Your daughter's begging you to stop drinking so much and throwing trophies around. Your wife is begging you to quit playing football. And now you're like, no, I'm just going to keep going. So listen, I'm not one to tell someone else how to run their household. But Tom, listen to those around you that love for you and care for you the most.
He's in the NFC. What is your concern?
He's in
the NFC.
You want to know my concern, Brandon? For
it's
those wonderful people in his life, his wife and children. That's who I'm
stopping.
Yeah.
My God.
So my answer is it'd be selfish.
Too much.
Wild. That's my answer.
I would be surprised if it didn't happen at this point. If he said, you know what, I'm hanging up at 45, I think we'd be more surprised if it didn't happen. By the way, on the retirement report, March 8th, everybody, I don't know, check your Twitter. Has Drew Brees retired yet? Haven't heard from him.
God.
Jason Witten's retired. Phillip Rivers retired. I'm hearing the guy's going to retire, but it hasn't happened. So I'm still thinking putting Drew Brees' comeback out there until I hear he's gone.
Otherwise. Let's shift gears now. Talk yesterday's All-Star festivities. Team LeBron just dominated the game. Steph took home the three-point contest, and DeMontis Sabonis won the skills challenge. By the way, Sabonis literally did not stop smiling the entire time he was on the court. I loved watching it. But Brandon, best moment from the All-Star Sunday was blank.
Jenna, see, I respect you. See, my answer was Sabonis skill and the skills challenge, because everybody want to talk about Steph Curry and Dame and Giannis being perfect, 16 for 16. LeBron James being the greatest general manager slash player to ever grace this planet. And no one's talking about Sabonis. Did you see his passing ability? Like, these guys couldn't just get the fundamentals down. So my answer is Sabonis skills challenge. If you tuned in and watched it, it was awesome seeing this dude throw the ball through this little circle when other guys couldn't get it done.
Time.
Fundamentals, kids. Fundamentals.
Wow. Props to Brandon Marshall. He finally found a way to make basketball more boring than the Utah Jazz. That was hard, but he did it. That right there, right there's fundamentals. Look at his bounce pass. Shut up.
You're the ridiculous.
All right, best moment from the All-Star game. LeBron to Steph. LeBron in the corner. Steph barely passed half court. Bang! We had never seen them play together. And I'm just putting it out there. Steph Curry is a free agent in the summer of 2023. And my guess is by then, Steph is going to be, you know, sick of losing. Or in the summer of 2022, pardon me, right? He's a free agent a year and a half from now. And, you know, he hasn't won anything since 2018. Now he plays with LeBron once. He finally wins again. So just put it out there. We finally got to see him play together. Maybe we see him play together more in the future. Just you know, something to marinate on.
Wow. Maybe LeBron goes to the Warriors. That is a good take.
I'm going Bankton Giannis's threes. Nick mentioned it earlier, but Giannis, you should go to the official scorekeeper and be like, I know I shot perfect from the field, but you want to give me one, that's fine. I'll give you a one. But you can't have two. You can't go three for three from threes and have two of them banking. You just can't do it. It's the honorable thing to do, to go to the official NBA scorecard or official record keeper and just say, you know
what?
Just give me credit for one.
Oh, boy.
He's going to be the first to do
it. Bank was open for Giannis
from three
last
bank
night.
Shots.
All right, let's keep it right there. Talking last night's All-Star game itself. Was LeBron the GM the biggest star of the night? Nick thinks so. Not surprising. It's next. First things first.
Not a GM. He just picked a team.
Back here, first things first, no NFL Combine this year, so if you're Brandon Marshall, obviously the only logical solution is to hold your own NFL Combine, which Brandon did at his House of Athlete Athletic Center over the weekend for 16 draft prospects. All right, Brandon, what was your biggest takeaway from your scouting combine?
Wow, couple, this kid right here, 4.24 40, unbelievable. We thought he was going to break the record, but he didn't hold his second run for 3 seconds to start. So Eric Stokes, cornerback from Georgia, was a big takeaway. Brandon Smith, 44-inch vertical, 11-foot broad jump, super explosive. And this kid, Amari Rodgers, wide receiver for Clemson. Trevor Lawrence is number one guy. This dude was sensational running routes. And then the last guy is Carey. Carey, LSU defensive back, ran a 4.30. A lot of these guys made money. For me, it was everything to give these guys an opportunity, because if that was snatched away from me in 2006, I don't know what I would have done. So great job to all the guys that came out, participated, and made money.
That's awesome.
It was awesome.
Really well, the other big sort of newsworthy thing here, Nick, you know, if Deshaun goes to the Jets, we heard that Brandon's coming out of retirement. Excuse me, Brandon, how do you feel out there? How was the route? How should Deshaun feel about his new wide receiver?
All right, so Wiles, I ran a hitch, I ran a slant, I ran a curl route, and I ran a go. And that was, last Friday or so? We did this for the pre-record, and my body is still sore. Yes, Jenna, my body is sore.
I don't believe it for one. It is the biggest lie on television that your route running is making you sore. It's the biggest lie on television.
Jenna,
I know
we got to be quick, but if people watch the beginning of this route, Brandon takes an extra step on that stutter. It's supposed to be your go on six. Yeah. He went on seven. So it's just, I mean, he's just got to clean some things up there.
Brandon,
he just got left foot. He's got to clean some things up.
Come on.
You're in such great shape,
buddy. Let's head to one of Brandon's former homes, Chicago, where a report has the Bears prioritizing a run at Russell Wilson. And why not? They need a franchise quarterback. Russ is a franchise quarterback. According to my 20-second script here, it all fits perfectly. Former All-Pro running back Brian Westbrook with us now. Brian, would the Bears be instant Super Bowl contenders with Russ?
Good morning, Jenna. And I know a little business contenders if you add Russell Wilson. They go from an 8-win team to a 10 or 11 win football team. But there's a couple of things that have to happen in order for that to work. You have to be able to keep Khalil Mack. You can't send Khalil Mack away in the trade. You have to be able to retain Akeem Hicks as well as resign Allen Robinson. If you're able to do that, now that defense is able to get back to that defense they were in 2018 under Vic Fangio, where they were the number one defense in the league. They were getting after guys as far as takeaway sacks and points as well. That's the type of defense that you need on this football team. But offensively, what Russell Wilson adds for Matt Nagy is it allows Matt Nagy to have some confidence in his signal caller, the guy that's going to have the ball much of the game. It also allows Matt Nagy to be creative, use some shifts and motions and misdirections in his play calls and his schemes. And that's going to put defenses on their heels. So if you're talking about one of the best defenses in the league, an offense that can keep defenses on his heels because of the addition of Russell Wilson, then you're certainly talking about a Super Bowl contender in Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely. This was a team that was in quarterback hell last year. Here, Mitch Trubisky, you take the ball. Here, Nick Foles, you take the ball. Here, Mitch, we're going to give you back the ball. So, yeah, when you look at that defense, I know they finished, around 14, 15. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be honest with you. You could have gotten more out of them. When that defense was sitting on the sideline seeing Mitch Trubisky take the field, they were like, you know what? We don't have a chance. And you didn't see them play up to their ability. When Mitch Trubisky at the end of the season start playing lights out for probably around like two games, you saw more of that defense. So absolutely, he makes them a contender. But what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to shore up that offensive line. They're one of the worst offensive lines in football, and that's one of the reasons why he wanted to leave Seattle. But they have what they need to go get it done. It doesn't take a lot. You need to have a smart offensive coordinator. You need to have a smart guy who can come in and say, all right, this is how we're going to protect Russ. And then the other thing is they need a Tyler Lockett. So, yes, he loves DK Metcalf. But what really makes Russell Wilson go is that short, small, super fast wide receiver that he can take shots with. That's who Russell Wilson is. That's how he likes to play in the passing game. So if you shore up that offensive line and you go get a Tyler Lockett-type wide receiver, you're going to have an opportunity to compete. Because there's some players, Nick, that wins five or six games themselves, and Russell Wilson is one of them.
Exactly right. And so, of course, they would be Super Bowl contenders if they added Russell Wilson. And I'm going to – people have said to me, Nick – You never compliment coaches. You're always crushing coaches, whether it's Luke Walton or Cliff Kingsbury, just drive-bys on these guys. Let me compliment a coach. Matt Nagy might be excellent. I know he's at the very least good. How can I prove it to you? Show this graphic that I think will shock the audience. Matt Nagy's been the head coach there 3 years. Most consecutive seasons with 8 wins in a row. Well, the Steelers, that's Tomlin with Cowher a little bit there, and Big Ben. There's Russ and Pete Carroll. There's Andy Reid and the Chiefs. There's the Titans. That's a surprising one. Oh, the Ravens are on there. That makes sense. You have John Harbaugh. The Saints have had Sean Payton and Drew Brees. The Rams, that's since young genius Sean McVay's there. And then it's the Bears with Mitch Trubisky playing quarterback for the full 3 years. They've been 8-8, 8-8, 12-4. Matt Nagy's 28-20 with a terrible quarterbacking situation. So, of course, if you add a top four quarterback in the league, you become Super Bowl contenders. The problem for the Bears is this. They don't have a quarterback to trade Seattle, and they don't have a premier pick to trade Seattle, because I know people have memory hold this, but the Bears made the playoffs last year. They were in there. Remember, they lost to the Saints. So, Wilds, I think the trade would have to be something like this. 3 first-round picks plus Roquan Smith and Kyle Fuller. I think you have to give 2 of your best defensive players and 3 first-round picks because you're not going to be able to provide them with a quarterback. If you would do that, I think Seattle would listen, and I think Chicago, even bereft of those assets, would be instant Super Bowl contenders because of the defense, the coach, and most notably Russ.
So here's the
odd part about trading first round picks. And Brian, I want to throw it to you. If Russ is constantly wanting to have more of a say in personnel decisions, how do you balance that with the fact that in order for Russ to go to a team, they're going to have to give up a king's ransom? So then fast forward when Russ is on the team, he's like, oh, we need to get better at position X, Y, and Z. I need more protection. You know, why don't we draft a, you know, an offensive lineman to protect me? Like, well, remember, to even get you here, we had to give up all these picks. So how do you think Russ balances that when he is making decisions? Because to me, like, all of these picks, he's like, oh, you're giving up all these picks. I got DK Metcalf here. I'm actually better standing in Seattle.
Well, yeah, so what Russ is going to have to do, he's going to have to carry a little bit more of the load there in Chicago than he had to do in Seattle. They had a great run game in Seattle when they got that going, and they had two receivers on the outside that were just dominant when you talk about Lockett and DK Metcalf. So he's going to have to carry a little bit more of that load. But, yeah, you're going to be trading away some draft picks, probably first-rounders. That means you got to hit in the second, third, and fourth round. There's some great players in those rounds. Some of those guys that were at Brandon's combine deal there this weekend, they're going to be drafted in those rounds, and those guys are going to have to come in and contribute early. That's what Russell Wilson has to be thinking about. We're getting a much better defense, a much more creative offense, the ability to do a lot of different things offensively that they just weren't willing to do there in Seattle. And now we got to make the most of some of these young guys coming in, and we're going to have to draft well. I think this is a great challenge for Russell Wilson, but one that he's certainly willing to accept, because the creativity offensively is going to be much different than what they had there in Seattle.
Yeah. Or B, Russell Wilson can do what James Harden did. What James Harden did, and I talked to one of his advisors a couple of months ago, he went to the team and said, look, if you trade for me and Kyrie's in the deal, then it's a no deal. So Russell Wilson can actually put on that general manager hat and take that seat that he wants in Chicago, in Lake Forest, right now, before he even gets there. And you say, look, here's what we can offer. And Khalil Mack is not one of them. So I think that's what he does, is he actually takes a page out of James Harden's book.
It's still such a foreign concept to me to think about Russ playing for another team next year. All right, while we wait for the next Russ report, next rumor, we'll shift back to hoops. Are the Brooklyn Nets, speaking of them, Brandon, are the Nets the clear-cut title favorites, adding Blake Griffin over the weekend? That's next. First things first. Back here, first things first, we head to Brooklyn, talk some Nets now. They agreed to a deal with Blake Griffin over the weekend. Blake's a six-time All-Star. Apparently, he had options after being released, but he decided on Brooklyn as the best spot to chase a ring. Chris Broussard back with us now. Broussard, are the Brooklyn Nets the clear-cut favorites to win the title after signing Blake?
Look, I am high on the Nets, but Brandon Marshall's just going a little bit too far. I mean, you're a little too excited about this signing. They are the clear-cut favorites in the East, obviously. I'm not going to go clear-cut favorites overall. I think that's disrespectful to the Lakers, especially, but with a healthy Anthony Davis. And this is not yet, a Kevin Durant on the Warriors situation, where it's just a foregone conclusion. And the key is not Blake Griffin. The key is over the second half of the season, can we get the three superstars on the court together? They've only played seven games together, and I do think Kevin Durant is going to fit in seamlessly when he comes back, but I got to see it. I want to see 25 games with the big three together over the second half of the season. Now, let me get to Blake. This was the greatest move for Blake Griffin. If he had gone to a Miami, a Portland, a team that expected him to come in and actually do something, like make a difference, it would have been a disappointment because he's not that guy anymore. But in Brooklyn, would have been similar in L.A., but in Brooklyn, your three stars are drawing so much attention. He is going to get so many open buckets that it's going to be great for him. He doesn't help your defense, obviously, so that's still something they have to work on. But here's the deal. Best case scenario, he's Dwight Howard last year with the Lakers. No expectations. Mm. Just don't rock the boat. Play your role, hustle, all that, and you get major credit. Worst case scenario is if Bruce Brown and Jeff Green are playing more minutes than Blake because of their hustle, their defense, whatever. And he's like, I'm Blake Griffin. And he's upset about it. And he's despondent. That could become a negative. I think they'd probably just get rid of him. That'd be the worst case scenario. I don't see it happening. But I think Blake will come in, play a good role. DeAndre Jordan's his boy. And it helps him. But this isn't the difference. Win or lose the title's not going to be based on Blake Griffin.
Look, six-time All-Star, five-time All-NBA. And I think, Nick, you said he finished third in the MVP voting one year. Look, yep. Blake Griffin, he ain't going to add much value. I tried to play it up. He ain't going to add much value. And we don't need another.
I was like, where are you going?
No, look. It is what it is. It's like Blake Griffin, you know, it's like a couple dollars that you put in the market. You put them into a mutual fund, right? You're not going to take much risk. He's not going to bring in, you know, 10, 20%. And you're not going to really lose any money. That's what Blake Griffin is. And it says a lot that all of the contenders, playoff contenders, reached out to Blake. He could have went to any team pretty much. He was bought out by the Detroit Pistons, and then now he's playing off of what, $5 million? That's what the Nets have to pay him. So this is a mutual fund. That's what this bet is. We're putting it into the market. If he adds an extra couple dollars, then great. If not, then, you know what I mean, we're good. He brings that veteran presence. That's what's happening here.
The most notable thing for Brandon's beloved Nets is that Blake Griffin clearly thinks they're the best chance to win the title because he could have gone anywhere, I think, and he ended up said, no, Brooklyn's where I want to go. But, and Wilds and Broussard are going to get annoyed with me because they hate nothing more than when I present them with cold, inarguable facts. But this is just another instance and another example of what happens to the NBA in response to LeBron James winning a title. So let me take you down a quick little path here, if you will. So in 2007, LeBron didn't win a title, but he carried that terrible Cavs team to the finals. And what did the NBA do? Big three in Boston. Assemble. We got to do something because this guy's going to take over the league. And it worked. They won a title. And then LeBron won his first title in Miami. And what happened? Steve Nash, Dwight Howard, Kobe Bryant. Get together. We got to do something. They're never gonna be. Now, that one didn't work, but that is what happened. Remember, it was with the cover of Sports Illustrated. Then LeBron won a title in 2016, and what happened? Kevin Durant and Steph Curry got together. Draymond's crying on the phone. They're like, guys, boys, do we ever want to win again? We better get together. And then LeBron James won a title last year, knocking James Harden out of the playoffs while Kevin Durant was watching from injury, and what happened? KD and Harden were like, boys, I think we got to come together. Because this guy's going to win all the titles. And Blake Griffin saw it too and was like, hey, I'll join them as well. So listen, it's just part of the story. We knew it was coming. I didn't know it would come in this form of Harden going to the Nets, Blake Griffin forcing Detroit going to the Nets as well. But it just adds to the legacy and the story of the modern NBA Wilds, which is super teams assembling in response to what LeBron has done the previous year. I see you guys shaking your heads. I laid the history out for you perfectly there.
It's not bad.
But I root for Blake. I hope Blake does well. Comment. I like Blake. Yeah, go ahead, Wilds.
I'm rooting for Blake, too. I think the super team you're talking about is the Warriors. Because I'm rooting for Blake, and I have fond memories of Lob City and the fact that Blake got excited. Oh, you're going to be here forever. Here's where your number's going to be retired. By the way, we're sending you to Detroit. I think although Blake is like great vibes guy, I do think there's a little bit of like, you know what? I want Brandon's pick. I want Nets versus Nets versus Clippers. I want Blake to win. But here's the thing, Broussard. The Blake that we remember fondly, we're so far away. I saw this stat the other day, and I was like, the guy hasn't dunked once. Not even 72 is not a lot. He was dunking way more than that when he won the dunk contest. But I would like to see him get one dunk, Broussard. I don't need one a game, just one. And I think this is the most indicative stat of how his game has changed.
I'm going to add something to that, Wilds. He's the only player in the NBA who's 6'7 or taller with 150 shot attempts or more who hasn't had a dunk. The only player. Wow. Think about that. Blake Griffin, one of the greatest game dunkers ever. Let me get back to Nick. And look, I love LeBron almost as much as you, Nick, but I remain objective. And you left something out of your little narrative. That LeBron went to Miami with the ultimate super team. What are you talking about? He didn't just win it in Miami. He won it with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. Then Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving were a super team as well.
They missed the playoffs.
It just wasn't the best super team. That was a super team, though. Kevin Love is putting up Moses Malone numbers in Minnesota. I mean, come on.
I mean, LeBron went to two teams that have been out of the playoffs.
And Anthony Davis is a super team. I'm just saying, you act like LeBron has been winning it by himself. No super team.
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying how the league reacts. And I'm just saying.
Blake's headed to Brooklyn to be determined if they get any better as a result. Shift back to football now. Is a Deshaun for Kyler trade an actual possibility? Guys are weighing in next. First things first.
Nice try, man.
Universal champion Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan are on a collision course to Fastlane with the ultimate opportunist edge ready to take advantage on the road to WrestleMania. It's an all-new Friday Night SmackDown, live at 8 Eastern on Fox.
Good time.
All right, time now for stories to start your morning, sponsored by Ram Trucks Built to Serve. Let's talk some New England Patriots and the report that Kevin Wiles has been waiting for, that New England has Jimmy Garoppolo as, quote, far and away the plan A at quarterback this offseason. Jimmy G and the Pats, they got history. The quarterback was drafted by the Patriots back in 2014, then traded 3 years later to San Francisco. So maybe a reunion on the horizon? Brandon, start with you. Would the Patriots be playoff contenders if Jimmy G reunited with Bill Belichick? Oof.
You know what? I mean, you got Bill Belichick, so you're always in contention, right? And you know, we understand, you know, who he is, although he's been struggling as a general manager the last 3-4 years and struggled last year as a head coach without Tom Brady. But Jimmy G, you know, I don't know. Let's go back to 2016. You got Tom Brady suspended for the first 4 games, so you now insert Jimmy Garoppolo. 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 119 quarterback passer rating. In the second game, he hurts his shoulder. Note that, hurt his shoulder in the second game. Now you go to 2017, everybody's high on Jimmy G. Oh, he's the second coming of the GOAT. This dude, Bill Belichick wanted him to replace the GOAT. So he gets traded to San Francisco. He plays the last 5 games. He goes 5-0. He throws 7 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. That's Jimmy G. Everybody's high on him. They're doubling it down out in San Francisco. 2018, he tears his ACL. 2019, they go to the Super Bowl. But during that run, you know, we're talking about, well, he was 9-for-12. He was 8-for-14, you know, but he played really well. He's the ultimate game manager. And then 2020 last year, he had a high ankle sprain. So I say all that to say this. Who are we getting? I don't know what Jimmy G we're getting. You know, so like we can talk about who he was in 2016 and that connection and how special that was. But at the end of the day, he's shown us that he's not available. And that's a huge problem. You can't make the club in the tub. That's a huge saying, and it's universal in the National Football League. And he's been a guy that spent too much time in the tub, Nick. So I don't know.
Okay. I reject the question, first of all, Brandon. Are we playoff contenders? We're playoff contenders regardless. You can run back your House of Athlete combine, but instead, you should get a behind center and be like, I don't know, maybe Brandon Marshall. Could he go on the Patriot be playoff contenders? The answer would be yes. We know we got the fourth most cap space, so all sorts of people are going to come to the greatest franchise in the history of sports. Oh, hello, Kyle Van Noy, you want to come home? Yep, you can have your own locker. Bye. Okay, see you soon. Bye. Okay, we got the 15th pick. We know that. We got all our opt-outs coming back, Nick. We're good to go. And now, what's the problem with Jimmy G? What's wrong? He's injured a little bit. Is that his fault? I don't think so. Is he a fragile quarterback? I don't know. Maybe I'm willing to roll the dice. Because here's what I know. And I know I'm a simpleton. I know I'm not on Pro Football Focus 24/7. I'm just a Neanderthal. I'm just eating raw meat. Ah, because you know what I like? Quarterback wins. I'm the worst. I've just been shunned. Quarterback wins. Oh, he's 26-9 as a starter. Oh, boo, Wilds, that doesn't matter. Winning football games doesn't matter. Well, it matters to me. I like winning games. Okay. call me crazy. Here's the problem. Kyle Shanahan, although he's a very advanced football mind, unlike myself, does know that he is 6-24 when he starts a quarterback not named Jimmy G. So I need a quarterback to get to San Francisco somehow. I don't care who it is. It would be Teddy Bridgewater, wants to be Deshaun. I just want someone there, and it can bring home Jimmy G.
Okay, well, I'm going to – the end of this is going to make you feel better than the beginning of it. Because at the end of this, I'll give you a way for the Patriots to get Jimmy Garoppolo. But leave Wilds on the screen if you can. Wilds,
sure.
If you like Merkel quarterback wins so much, I've got a guy for you. He's a free agent. He's young. He's got a winning record as a starter.
Ooh.
His name's Mitch Trubisky.
Good for you, Wilds.
You interested? Would you like some Mitch Trubisky for you? Because, hey, if quarterback wins are what you're focused on, I've got a fresh, shiny new Mitch Trubisky coming off the lot. Here's my concern for the Patriots. My concern for Wilds is, on the five stages of grief, Wilds is still clearly in the denial stage, where it's like, nope, Patriots, greatest franchise ever. We're going to be back. We got all this money for free agents that don't want to come here. It'll be wonderful. That's my concern for Wilds. My concern for the Patriots is the plan A part of this. If I came in one day and I was like, hey, big announcement, everybody. I'm buying a penthouse, Fifth Avenue, prime Manhattan real estate. Folks be like, wow, Nick, those run like $25 million. How are you going to pay for it? Plan A, hit the lottery. Plan B, going to figure it out. It's like, okay, so your plan A is something incredibly unrealistic. Because how are you getting Jimmy Garoppolo? Wilds is right. The Niners would have to get a quarterback to replace him, and then I think he'd be on the move. So here's a fake trade, Brandon. Tell me what you think. Involves three teams. Bill Belichick calls Nick Caserio. He calls John Lynch. And he says, how about this? The Niners, you get Deshaun Watson. We get Jimmy Garoppolo. The Texans get, from us, two first-round picks. And from the Niners, two first-round picks plus Nicky Bosa. I think that might get you Deshaun Watson. The question is this, Brandon. Oof. Do you think Bill Belichick, who has made his career paying under market value, would trade two number ones for a guy that he once traded for one number two? It would be all of a sudden rebuying a car for $50,000 that you sold for $20,000. Not exactly great business. But if that's your plan A, I think that's something like this, Brandon, is the only way it actually happens.
Well, look, Nick, he has to. Not only at the quarterback position, but any position. Why? Because Tom Brady made this an attractive destination. So guys was willing to come and take less and put up with the Patriot way because you had Tom Brady and you knew you had an opportunity to make the Super Bowl. So Bill Belichick, he's on notice as a general manager. But before, he could go out there and wheel and deal and say, guys, here's the deal. Take it or leave it. Now he can't do that because he doesn't have Tom Brady, one, Wilds, and two, you don't have the thought out there of, oh, you know what? We can win a Super Bowl, and you're seeing it already. You had Matthew Stafford step up and say, you know what? I don't want to go to New England. And you have other free agents saying, you know what? It's not an attractive destination anymore. So Bill Belichick, the general manager, is on notice. And the only way to get this team back on track, one, he does need a quarterback. I don't know if he does it in the draft. I don't know if he does it to Nick's multi-team trade. But he's going to have to certainly overpay.
Well, here's
so Wilds, what are you guys going to do? Go ahead.
Hey, Wilds, what are you going to do?
If we can't get Jimmy G.
I love it.
If we can't get Jimmy G, I will take Cam back. I love Cam. He was on the wonderful House of Athlete podcast. And he was, for all the trash you guys want to talk about, horrible New England is, Cam Newton, superstar, was like, I would love to come back. And he didn't play great, and he was benched multiple times. So I don't want to hear that New England's a terrible place when Cam would love to sign up for New England again.
Jenna, I'm worried for the show because, like I said, Wilds is still in the denial phase. The anger phase is going to be
over, bud.
Because if it lasts as long as the denial phase has lasted,
we gotta go. We're going to see you tomorrow. Undisputed starts right now.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.